Hello and welcome back. Well, in this session, we'll speak about Azure Diagnostics.
Got a couple of questions before we go into that. I was asking if you can easily change the maximum size of the database after it's created.
Well, no.
No, you can't. All right. And do they have triggers in SQL Azure?
No.
No triggers in SQL Azure. Okay. And the Windows Azure login is different from the SQL Azure login. Then how to add new subscriptions?
I didn't understand that again.
This Windows Azure login is different from the SQL Azure login.
Yeah.
So how do you add new subscriptions?
The Windows Azure logins provides you the ability to see the portal and to create new instances. SQL Azure, like Azure Storage, is independent at all. Now, if you want to create new subscriptions whatsoever, so you have to go to Microsoft Online Services.
Okay.
And in Microsoft Online Services, this is where you create new subscriptions.
Okay. All right. Okay, very good. So that's, that clears out our question queue.
Okay.
So, please.
So let us continue.
Thank you.
So, we'll speak about diagnostics. We'll speak about diagnostics in the cloud. We'll speak about diagnostics monitor, how do you collect the diagnostics data, how do we persist diagnostic data, and common usage scenarios, how do we handle them. And, of course, we will demo those. We'll see how we actually collect diagnostics in the cloud. So why do we need diagnostics? Well, we need diagnostics anywhere, of course, in the cloud, especially in the cloud. In a single server, in an on-prem application, well, the computer is very close to us. The server is just there. We can just get to it, see it, and diagnose it. We can connect to it easily, and we can see using several different programs.
File open C colon backslash whatever.
Whatever. You have several different capabilities just to diagnose the server, to see performance counters, to see event logs, to see whatever you want. Now, they've taken that machine and they put it in the cloud. Now, in the cloud, it's not that the machine is far. There's many machines there. There are many instances. It's elastic. It's the multi-tenancy. The work is distributed. It's asynchronous, as we've seen with Azure Queues. There are many, many, many nodes. So how do we handle those? How do we get to see the information about the machine, which is distant? It's not just here. We cannot just connect to it and see what happens. And second, how do we get information from all the instances together and we get a one single view of what's really happening when there are so many instances spread out around the cloud? So the challenge is great. It's more challenging than a single server on-prem, because first, it is distant, and second, it is distributed. So we need to have a certain infrastructure that will help us to collect the information we need, so we will be able to diagnose what's happening in the cloud, to figure out what is the performance, to figure out if there is a problem, to fix that problem, etc. So what we used to do with diagnostics is to measure performance, to measure performance counters, to see do we have enough computing power, to see how much do we use the resources that we allocate. Do we consume more than we allocated? Do we consume less? Maybe there is a problem somewhere and we need to find its source and we want to debug. We want to find the problem itself. We want to detect the problems. We want identify the quality of the service that we are providing, to see that we are providing the correct SLA to our customers.
That's a tricky one, actually.
That's not easy at all.
No, because we've got what we get out of Azure, whatever that is, and then we've got to turn around and make sure it's okay for the guys that we
for the customers,
to.
Of course. So we need to measure ourselves all the time.
We're kind of in the middle.
Now, we know our business.
Yes.
Windows Azure does not know the business. It is an infrastructure on which we put our application to run. So we are the only one who can understand the metrics and correlate it with the business and so to understand that we provide the right SLA to our customers. Because our customers, they do not care about Azure. They care about the service they get from
us. Absolutely.
So we need to plan do capacity planning and to plan our resources and our pricing as well according to those metrics and to see that we are on the right spot. Maybe we lose money here. Maybe we use Azure too much and we price our customer not enough money, so we lose money here. So all the billing is very tied to diagnostics. How much traffic and where, who talks to whom? Maybe we can design for locality and we can cancel all those conversations between different nodes and different spots and different data centers, etc., that we pay for. Maybe we can handle peak times better. Maybe we can use asynchronous workloads and queues. And then we can take the time and we flatten the time because everybody writes to the queues and then processing power will read from the queues whenever possible and they will flatten the time. So maybe we can do all those things, but to do those, we need information. And information comes from diagnostics. So there's not more important infrastructure, I would say, than diagnostics. If you look at an operating system, you would say that operating system provides computing power, and that's the roles. It provides information handling, data handling, and that's storage. And it provides management and diagnostics to allow you to understand that everything works well for you, for your business. So these are the main three roles of an operating system. We've seen the first two, and now this is the third one, Azure Diagnostics, that provides us the ability to make sure that everything runs smoothly as we want it. Okay. Now, well, how do we do that?
Okay, how do we do that?
So, again, like we've seen with the with Azure Storage, there is a very simple API that we will see.
Good.
Using the API, it is very easy to read the data from all those instances together and manage that data, process that data, and gain a view of what's happening in our cloud application. Now, what diagnostic does, it knows it lives in the cloud. So that diagnostic infrastructure, of course, is cloud-friendly. It knows to manipulate all those roles. It knows that there is storage. It knows that the storage can be a mediator for all those instances running independently. So information might be written there. So the design of diagnostic infrastructure is scalable, like everything else in the cloud. It's cloud-friendly. It's simple to work with. There is an SDK. There is an API. It's easy to work with. You can work from the app itself, and you can work remotely, which means I can have a console application that configures Azure Diagnostics. The console app, of course, runs on my machine, and then I can, using this console app, configure what's being collected and how it is being collected and when it is being collected and when it is being persisted in Azure Diagnostics straight from my machine. It's easy. It's simple, and we'll see how it works. So, how basically does it work in a nutshell? So we have a role instance. The role instance starts. And when it starts inside an environment where very close to it, there is a diagnostic monitor. And the diagnostic monitor is configured to collect certain information about the environment of the role, about what's really happening, about the operating system, about performance counters, about all those things that we're used today to work with on-prem. All the diagnostic information that we used to collect on-prem is possible to be collected in the cloud, in that environment where the role instance lives in. So diagnostic monitor is in charge of collecting that data. That data is being kept in the local directory storage, just close to the instance. Now, as it is being collected in the cloud, sometime we will want to read that information. So when it is time, we will, or the diagnostic monitor will take that data and persist it to Azure storage. Now, we can do it in two different policies. We can schedule that, which means every 5 minutes, the data that was being collected will be persisted to Azure storage, and from then on, you can read it because Azure storage is independent. Or you can do it on demand, which means now I want this particular instance to take its data and persist it now to Azure storage. Both these policies are available, and of course, we will see them in just a minute. So, we spoke about remote configuration. I have this guy with this laptop, and we have our role lives inside its friendly environment with the diagnostic monitor and the local directory storage. And now, the guy on-prem first asks the storage to read the current configuration of the diagnostics, of Azure Diagnostic for that particular role. Give me the current configuration. I have the current configuration, so now all I need to do is change it. I change it to the exact configuration I need right now. And this makes sense if, let's say I'm running an application and I hope everything runs well, but then there is a problem. Now I want to collect more data. So I will get that initial configuration, which doesn't collect much. Now I will change it. I will add more stuff to be collected. And then when this configuration fits my needs, then I will bring it back to the storage. The storage is where I can connect, is where the storage is something I know. I know to communicate with the storage. This is why everything works against the storage. And that's another example of how the storage acts as a mediator. Now, on the other side, the instance itself is polling the storage all the time for configuration changes. It asks, hey, had something changed? Maybe the user wants more? What do you say? Of course, I can configure how often this polling is done. Using this polling, the role instance understands that, hey, there is a configuration change. And now the configuration change flows all the way back to the role instance. It will restart the configuration.
If you look at the storage sample that I showed earlier this morning, this afternoon, you'll see it's got the code in there for hooking up to notice the changes to the configuration and make sure it's pulled in.
So that's the same.
That's where you'll find an example.
That's the same thing. We'll see that in a minute in a detailed example again. So now the configuration gets to the role instance. The role instance configure itself with the new set of configuration, and that's it. And now we're good to go. Now, what is being collected? What's around this role instance environment? So first, of course, there's the configuration we just spoke about. Now, there's data to collect. And the data to collect includes all the types of data that we are used to collect with on-prem application. That means event logs. That's dumps, crush dumps, logs, traces, system.diagnostics in general. Anything that was collected using system.diagnostics API can be collected here. Just anything. Some of the data is entities oriented, like an event log entry. It is like an entity. It's like a row in the database, right? Mm-hmm. So I would like to save that data in a table. That makes sense to save entities in tables. And this is exactly what happens. This row would be saved automatically in a table. Now, other types of information like crush dumps or IIS dumps or whatever, those dumps are blobs. Blobs in their nature. So again, the data will be saved in the natural spot, and that's a blob. So diagnostic will save the data in the right place, in a table or in a blob, according to the type of the data. So there are the traces that we want to define. There's Windows data source, information from Windows. There's IIS logs, performance counters, Windows event logs. All this type of data surrounds the role instance, and it is all being collected and saved in the local directory storage to be persisted. Now, of course, there's quota to anything, so we define how much data is being persisted, how much data is being saved, how many logs, because as we all know, logging, auditing costs money. Like anything else. The wallet is that you showed yesterday.
That's
money. Okay? That's money in performance. That's money in storage, because storage costs money.
Compute cycles.
That's money for us. We can enforce quotas, so we'll be in control what's and how much is being persisted for us. Okay, so we have this role instance. Windows data source is being kept all the time. We have Windows Azure storage. Someone asks us, please upload data on demand or scheduled, and data is being uploaded to the Azure storage. That's the policy that we work with. Okay, so how do you work against Windows Azure Storage? So we have to configure. We have to have a storage account first, because everything works against the storage. The storage is a mediator between all those instances and us. We all can read storage, so this is why we go to the storage. The storage persists the data, and the storage gets data on scheduled or on demand, as we just said. Now, to do that, we work with a very simple API. And the API, we will demonstrate the API in details in a minute with a sample code. But if we look at it from 20,000 feet, it will look like this. We read the current configuration to a diagnostic monitor configuration object. So we use diagnostic monitor.get default initial configuration. That's the default configuration. And now, to this diagnostic monitor configuration, we write. Now, this diagnostic monitor configuration object has different types of information to configure. So this is an example for Windows event logs. We want to configure here Windows event logs. If we would want to configure performance counters, so we would do it differently, as we will see later on in the demo. Now, in the Windows event log, we would want to get the application data source, the same application that we read in event log using Windows, a traditional application. Now, we want to do that every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, please go read the information of the application data source in the event log. take that information and persist it. So that's a very simple configuration that we had done. Of course, we can configure different types of information here with different properties that the diagnostic monitor configuration exposes to us. We will see that in a minute in the code. After we had done that, okay, we say we have that configuration here. We have the connection string which says exactly where is the storage account to write to. It's the exact same connection string that we have seen, that you had shown in the storage talk. It's the same thing. So please go and take that connection string and write there. And now all you have to do is start the diagnostic monitor. Now, after we did this, default configuration, change of configuration, and then go and start the monitor. We can do on demand, because maybe this 5 minutes that we just configured here is not enough for us. We want to know now what happens now. Configuration, diagnostic information is collected all the time. Now we need to know what's in there. So we can ask to do an on-demand transfer to the storage. Well, we have a very simple API to do so. We ask to get the role instance diagnostic manager, and this is done per role, per instance. Now, we can do a configuration there, configuration change here. Well, we need that kind of information now. And when we do so, we can ask begin on-demand transfer. Now, do the on-demand transfer. Now, I would like to state that the begin word here is interesting.
The minfu, is that what you're saying?
Because we are used to the begin word when something is done asynchronously.
Yes.
Well, it doesn't fit here.
Okay.
The begin word does not mean anything about asynchronous workload. Maybe it does in a way, but it doesn't happen on another thread. So there's no thread from the thread pool that is going to execute this. What actually happens is that a message is being sent, please do that begin transfer. And now, when the transfer will finish, we will get a notice in a certain queue that, of course, we will define. Mm-hmm. And when we read that message in the queue, then we know, hey, information is ready in storage. Go and read that. Go and read the blobs, go and read the tables, and get the information you need. And of course, after that, we need to delete the message from the table. So that's a very nice example of working with tables and blobs and queues together. And it is done for us in the diagnostics API. So, after the information is persisted, it is there in storage. Everyone can read it if they have the access control, of course. Everyone can read it from storage, so we can do that. We can go and read the storage using the API. We can go and read the storage using tools. There are very nice tools out there. Visual Studio is a nice tool, which we'll see in a minute. So we can just use the REST API, you can use the programmatic API, we can use any API that work against the storage, and we can just read that information as easy as it gets. So now what we will do, we will see things in action. We will write to diagnostics, and we will see those tables, we will see the blobs, and enjoy.
Show me.
Okay?
Enjoy.
Alrighty, so let us do some diagnostics. Okay, so what we've got here, as we can see, it's a very simple web role. Let's run it. Let's run it and see what happens. So I press F5 and it will run. Now, as we can see here in the code, this is the button submit click. We will submit it in a minute. Here the Rebel is just going up, loading everything, launching the browser, and here we are. So, let us go to diagnostics. And this is the submit button we had just seen the code. So let's write something, some information, some message that we want to write into the event log. So let's write, this is a nice message. Okay, this is purely information, or maybe it is an error. You never know. So we'll submit it. That's it. This is what we did. We just wrote to the event log. Let's see the code behind it. So this is exactly the submit button. And as we can see, all we do is use the system.diagnostic event log API. We know that API. We know system.diagnostic. That's the same API we use for ages now, just to write to the event log. But now we are on a VM. We are on the cloud. This is a web role. So what actually is being, what happens when we write to event log? So as we described in the deck, we are writing to event log, but something will absorb that, will read that, and actually will write that back to storage every some period of time. So to see that event log, we'll have to go to storage. This is where it is being written to. So the API is simple. The question is, who configures diagnostics to actually read that event log information and persist it to storage? So this is what we'll see here in the webroll.cs. The webroll.cs, this is the code that initializes our web role. And we have here a method called setDiagnostics. Now, setDiagnostic, what it does, first, it will configure the diagnostics, of course, but it will demonstrate to us the API. How do we access diagnostics, and who is playing here the game? Who are the objects that we will deal with? So, this is a connection string to Windows Azure Diagnostics, and using it, we create a cloud storage account. And now we are creating a deployment diagnostics manager. This deployment diagnostics manager will allow us to create a role instance diagnostic manager, for which we can configure diagnostics per role. Using that guy, we will create a diagnostic monitor configuration, and this is where we will actually write the diagnostics to. We can achieve the same stuff using diagnostic monitor.get default initial configuration. This and that are exactly the same thing. Get current configuration here, get default initial configuration, that's the exact same thing because this is the initialization code. I just wanted to demonstrate to you all the classes that participate in that game. Anyway, now that we have the diagnostics monitor configuration, we are ready to go to configure. Now, the diagnostics monitor configuration have several properties concerning different types of diagnostics information. performance counters, event logs, Windows log, directories, diagnostic infrastructure logs, etc. Each one of them has a different data source that we can configure. For example, here, for all of those, we configure the rate. When will you take the data that you collected and persist it to storage? This is the scheduled transfer period. Now, here, what I do is I configure a set of performance counters that I would like to persist and collect. So I go to the performance counters configuration, that's another class, and using it, I create a certain piece of configuration concerning performance counters. And then what I do is I add each one of those to diagnostic configuration, performance counters, dot data sources, dot add. I add that particular configuration. So I do that with several performance counters. I ask the Windows event log. I want two different data sources here. I want the system and I want the application. That's the same system and application that we know from Windows event log from the MMC when we look at the event log. We can create custom logs here. That's the name of the custom log. And by the end of it, when we have the configuration finalized, we have all the configuration ready, what we do is we go to Diagnostics Monitor and we tell him, look, that's the configuration. This is the connection string where we want you in storage to persist stuff. And now just start. Okay. So we started and we wrote the event log. And now it's time to see maybe things are there. So we'll go to tables. And we are trying to connect to tables. And here we are. And this is the Windows Azure Diagnostics Windows Event Logs table. And we'll open that. And here we are. This is our Azure demo. And this is a nice message. That's exactly what we wrote. So we can see that we actually read the event log that we wrote when we access a table in Azure Storage. So maybe we don't want to wait 1 minute. Maybe we don't want to wait until the scheduler will persist the data to the Azure Storage. Maybe we want to reconfigure Azure Diagnostics and get the data now. So this is what we'll do. Here I have the same web role that we've seen earlier, but now I print here the information about the actual deployment and the actual role that I'm using. So I will go here and write to the event log exactly as we've done earlier, but now I want to trigger an on-demand persistence, which means I will reconfigure and persist now. Before doing so, I will just show you the code. So here I have a very simple console application, no more than that. And here I have the information about the deployment. So it was 128, so I write here 128. I create a role instance diagnostics manager, the same class that we've seen on the last demo, using the instance ID and the role name that we have here. And now we will ask it to start on-demand transfer and to end on-demand transfer. If we'll go here to the start on-demand transfer, we can see that what we're doing here, we create some configuration, and then we tell the role instance diagnostics manager, please begin on-demand transfer using this option. And what we want is we want the data buffer logs. Alrighty. Now, this is the name of the queue to which Diagnostic will write a message when it finishes. Now, when we finish, what we'll do here is end transfer. We'll ask the same role inside the diagnostics manager, please give me all the active transfers. And for each one of those, we will just say end on-demand transfer. After this, we should obviously clean. So here we get the messages and we do the end and we delete the message. So what actually happens is that we begin and then we pull on the messages, waiting for a message to tell us that persistent finished. And then we do the end on the demand transfer that is just here. And then we delete the message from the queue. So let's go back to the web role. And we'll do another. This is the second message. We'll submit it. And now we'll quickly go to the console application. And we will run the console application. Okay. Done. Enter. Thank you. And now we will go to the storage. So that's the View Server Explorer. And we just open the table, and here is the second message.
So we're getting close to reviewing this and wrapping it up, aren't we?
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. So using using diagnostics, we collect data all the time, mm-hmm. according to our configuration, and then we persist the data to the storage. Then we can take the data and process it whenever we want. Now, sometimes we would like to do a remote configuration and see those performance counters live. We can do that with Windows Azure Connect. That's out of the scope of this session, but I wanted to mention that. And well, we use system.diagnostics for all the scenarios that we spoke about to troubleshoot, to find out that application runs smoothly, and to make sure that everything works well. So thank you very much, and hope you have a good night. And with that, we will finish our day.
And thank you so much for coming. We both really enjoyed it. We're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. And so it's about time to say goodnight, Manu.
Yeah, and if you have nothing to do tonight, you can go to the resources we just posted, and you can read them and enjoy and read more and understand more about Windows Azure Diagnostics.
Tomorrow, noon Pacific. Be there. Aloha.